Let's please turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. 3 weeks ago, we were at a baptism down at Long Lake, and last week we had Pastor Andre Luis from Haiti. 3 weeks ago, we were teaching in the book of Acts, going through the book of Acts, but I decided, because of circumstances, that phone calls coming into the office and other things, emails, to just break away and do a topical study on, will the kingdom of the Antichrist be Islamic, and therefore will the Antichrist be the Muslim imam, 12th imam coming out of the well of Iran, as some people are teaching. In fact, as I've said many times over the last couple, 3 years, that the Bible says in the last days people will turn themselves away from the truth and heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears departing from the truth. And so in a sense, anything that is growing in popularity, if we are in the last days, to me, I'm skeptical of. I'm skeptical of things that are growing in popularity that nobody ever taught, ever. And this is one of those topics. And it is growing in popularity that the Antichrist is going to be a Muslim, that the Islamic threat, the fundamentalist Islamic threat, ISIS and everything else, it's going to take over the world. It's going to be that taking over that part of the world is going to be the kingdom of the Antichrist. The Antichrist is going to be a Muslim. And along with that, the church is going to be in, is going to stay here. There is no secret rapture. There's no rapture of the church. The church is going to be here till the very end. When Jesus comes back is when he then gathers up his church, when he physically returns to earth. And so, boy, you Christians better stop waiting for that Jesus, because you're not prepared. Your pastor hasn't prepared you for the days ahead, because the Islamic guys are coming to chop your head off, and you got to be prepared by buying books, listening to YouTube videos, etc. And again, when I grew up, was learning the Bible and been reading the Bible for 40-some years, nobody ever said Islam until recently. Why? Because they look like they're powerful. And so instead of just coming, letting the Bible speak for itself on these issues, people look around and go, whoa, okay, look at this thing that nobody else has seen before. Look at the rise of Islam. And could that fit in to being the Antichrist? And then they just try and stick a square peg in a round hole. And most people are following it. I mean, a lot of people are following. And I would imagine some people would say, I don't even want to go to a church that teaches the rapture of the church. I don't even want to go to a church that says that Israel is in the land of, the Jews are in the land of Israel today by divine covenant of God. How crazy is that? Because that's what these people are saying. And so, and I'm telling you that I think it's part of the deception of the last days. Because instead of, and people have said this for decades, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uptaker. I don't care how I die, really. Do I, as a Christian, do I really care how I die? Let's turn the clock back 500 years. When Islam was sweeping all of North Africa, slaughtering Christians through Africa, Asia, the Turkish Ottoman Empire slaughtered every Christian they could find, and it was moving its way into Europe. What if Joel Richardson, who's the author of The Islamic Antichrist, what if he was, hey, we're there? Because he doesn't need Israel to be a nation. He doesn't need anything else. It's just like, oh, this is the kingdom of the Antichrist that's going to take over. It's not going to be European. I don't know what he would have said 500 years ago. I'm just saying that Christians have been under the sword or in the crucifixion or burned to death at the stake and everything for centuries. And they were prepared the day they received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Okay, I want you to emphasize it. You are prepared for whatever happens. If you have faith and trust in Jesus Christ, you're prepared. Because when you die, you're going to go to have everlasting life in heaven. Not knowing exactly how you're going to die and who's going to be the one to kill you is not important, really, for our eschatology. It doesn't matter. And I know some people are being all upset because this week, in fact, yesterday, I guess there was a news article that the FBI is starting to call some people and tell them, we want you to know that you're on the Islamic hit list. You're on the ISIS hit list. Good. You know? Okay, so what are we supposed to do about it? Now, we can be prudent. If you knew that the drug dealer next door is upset that you're causing everybody to believe in Jesus and they're no longer buying his drugs, you might want to take some precautions. But you're not going to just live your life worrying about the drug dealer taking away your salvation because you're not prepared for him, right? I mean, so you're going to be smart, but you're not going to lose. You're not going to lose your faith. You're not going to lose the bottom line. So this is a big deal. I want to let you know, August 4th through 6th, there's going to be a debate between Dr. Thomas Ice, and Joel Richardson. And it's going to be over the topic of, does Scripture point to a European or Middle Eastern Antichrist? And it's going to be, if you want to go to Oklahoma City, you can go and you can listen to it. And I'm sure they'll make a DVD and they'll make a book and you'll be able to buy and it'll be wonderful. So I'm going to preempt that a little bit by just covering a few verses. And here's our way of looking at things. You know, what I see in Scripture. There's unfulfilled biblical wars between Israel and their neighbors. Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39 in the prophetic world are the big ones that have been around. Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17 only recently. But Ezekiel 38, 39, and a lot of Christians believe that those wars are going to set up by the destruction of Israel's immediate neighbors, which are Islamic Arab nations, is going to set up a time of peace that will allow them to build their temple and to function into the kingdom of the Antichrist. They will worship the Antichrist, or they won't worship the Antichrist. They'll receive the Antichrist as their Messiah because the world conditions that we see now, which would never allow the Jews to build a temple, to start temple worship, to do sacrifices, that cannot happen today in the Islam, with the Islamic threat around them. But if those nations were subjugated in wars that annihilated their military capabilities, the Jews would feel safe. They'd build it. If a world leader said, yes, build your temple, be safe, we're going to make a deal with you, the Jews would receive them as their Messiah. They would receive them. Now, so that's why Christians have believed that. I've also thought Daniel teaches that the Antichrist comes out of the revived European Empire. And there's reasons that we're going to cover that when we get to the Scripture here. And Joel Richardson says, nope. The Saudi Arabia is the Babylon of Revelation, the mystery Babylon, the whore of Babylon, because they're the ones that are manipulating the world, spreading fundamentalist Islam with their billions of petrodollars. They're spreading Islam all over the world. They're Babylon. And these wars, as Isaiah 17, Psalm 83, and Ezekiel 38, 39, all those wars are just other ways that the prophets have written about the Battle of Armageddon at the second coming of Jesus. So there's no wars that need to happen. And see, the reason why you have to do that is because, why you have to say that those wars is because you can't let Islam get destroyed if you think it's the kingdom of the Antichrist. So all those wars have to be at the very end of the tribulation. So that's what Joel is teaching. It's all at the end of the tribulation. And so the world is going to just continue to be more and more under the subjugation of Islamic threat until the Islamic Caliph, 12th Imam, comes to power, and we're all going to be subjugated, and we better be ready. So this is what Joel Richardson says in response to, he has, if you go to his website, which is joelstrumpet.com, and he has, if you go to articles, there's a Psalm 83 war article. And there's several responses by people. And his response number 31, where he's answering a question by a guy, he says, that said, I think Scripture also demands that we recognize that Israel's victory happens after he returns, not before. Salas, Bill Salas, who has popularized the Psalm 83 war, Salas's big error is that he takes passages, the context of which are clearly the day of the Lord or even the millennial kingdom. So Joel is thinking these wars, Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, Ezekiel 38, 39, are definitely the second coming, or maybe even into the millennium. And again, this has to be short, obviously. So, I mean, we could go on and on about just that and all the problems with that. He disagrees with Bill Salas on one thing that I do too. In fact, you know, and there's a long story with that. Bill, Bill and I have, we communicate. He's had me review certain aspects of his books before he gets out, and I really disagreed with his subtitle on his book about how after this war, Israel will become the ruling superpower in the Middle East. And I said, Bill, you and I have discussed. Isaiah 17 says the glory of Jacob wanes and the fortresses of Ephraim are no more. Whatever we say, it has to match up with everything the scriptures say. Because if we don't do that, we're missing. Whenever we say, oh, yeah, you're right, but let's throw that one away. And whenever we do that, then we've got problems. And that's what they're pouncing on him. If you read his Psalm 83, they really pounce on that, and there's no argument against it. That part is a good critique. Our posted Psalm 83 Isaiah 17 series does not say that Israel is going to come smelling like a rose out of these coming wars. They're going to take a major shot. They're going to be, because the Bible says so. The glory of Jacob wanes. They're going to be very damaged in the coming war with their neighbors. And so, Joel does believe that the Antichrist may be allowing the Jews to rebuild their temple. So it's kind of hard to figure him out where he is with Israel. I need to do a little bit more research. I haven't read everything he's written. And I think he's trying to, when he should have been saying something easily, saying something he's not. So I'm not sure he's being totally open with what he thinks of Israel. But he does think that the Antichrist will let them build a temple. And that's going to be important. And I'm going to read this. This is what he said. This is his response 33, which is October 2014, same website. We know the Antichrist will be shrewd, deceptive, and manipulative. Somehow he will manage to make some form of agreement with Israel that will likely include concessions for her to build the temple. But until it happens, we can only speculate. Now, it's not likely. Why do we know it's not likely? We know that Israel is going to build a temple. And if it's during the kingdom of the Antichrist, the kingdom of the Antichrist, if he is the Antichrist, if he's the world ruler, if he's the caliph, then he has to be the one to let him do it. Why do we know? Because Jesus said in Matthew 24, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by the prophet Daniel, then you've got to get out of Jerusalem and flee into the mountains. And the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel, that's what we're going to read here in a minute. It's about the Antichrist defiling a rebuilt Jewish temple. Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, the Antichrist is going to go in and declare himself to be God. Revelation 11 says that there's going to be a temple built in Revelation chapter 11 that hasn't been built. So the Antichrist has to let the Jews build a temple. Now, how many Muslim fundamentalists do you think are excited about the Jews building a temple on Temple Mount? Like zero. Now, either Islam has to change. What would have to change to have Islam change? What would have to change for the radical Islamic faith to change? The Quran has to change. And if the Quran has to change, which declares everybody who does not worship Allah is an infidel. Now, does that include Jews? Yes. Does it include Christians? Yes. Does it include Gentile? Everybody is an infidel and must be killed according to the Quran. And you're allowed to lay low. You're allowed to not kill them right now. You can make peace. You're allowed to make peace with the infidel as long as they're willing to pay a tax to Allah and they don't disparage Allah in any way, then they are allowed to live, even though they're not followers of Allah. But they cannot speak disparagingly. Now, is for the Jews to say there is no God but Yahweh, and we're going to worship him, is that disparaging to Allah? Yes, so they'd be killed. So in other words, the biggest thing to me that shows that this cannot happen is because the Jews build a temple and the Antichrist lets them. Can't be Muslim. The Jews, Jesus said, the Jews follow the Antichrist as their Messiah. Now, how many Orthodox religious Jews do you know that think that they should just be bowing down and celebrating as their Messiah, their long-awaited Messiah, the various different Islamic fundamentalists that are running around the Middle East? How many Jews are looking for that Muslim caliph that they can say, finally, our promised Jewish Messiah from the scriptures of the Old Testament are ready. We're ready to embrace him as our Messiah. How many? None. If that's all you get out of this, that's all you need. That's all you need to not waste your money on the book. But let's look at Daniel chapter 9, verse 25. The Bible tells us where the Antichrist comes from. In 9:25, know therefore and understand, and we could spend an entire study, two studies, on just these three verses, but we're going quick here. Know therefore and understand that from the going forth of the command to restore and build Jerusalem until the Messiah the Prince, there shall be 7 weeks, which is seven sevens and 62 sevens for a total of 69 sevens of weeks, which the weeks are actually years, and long story there. The street shall be built again and the wall, even in troublesome times. So 480, from a command to go and restore and rebuild Jerusalem from the destruction of the Babylonians until the Messiah comes is 483 years. Now, how do we know it's not weeks? Because it says literally sevens, and then you have to understand, well, is that sevens of what? Sevens of years. The way you get that, the easiest way to get it now, is that it was 483 years from the time the decree was made, and Ezra records the decree, until Jesus came was 483 years. So that's the easiest way to know it's talking about years. And then after the 62 weeks, which is really after the 69, because there was 6 and 62, or 7 and 62. So after 483 years, Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. Oh, did that get fulfilled literally? Yes, Jesus was crucified. He was cut off. Not for himself, he's cut off for us. He died on the cross. He was sacrificed. Cut off means sacrifice for us. So we can literally understand this. And the people, this is so important, and the people of the prince who is to come, which is going to be the Antichrist, the Antichrist who is to come, the people of the Antichrist who is to come, shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. Now, do we know who destroyed the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary of the second Jewish temple that was on Temple Mount? Do we know who did that? Yes, absolutely. Indisputable, it was not Saudi Arabian Arabs. And it was definitely not any Muslims. How do we know it was no Muslims? Because it was about 1,100 years before Muhammad invented Islam. So, no Muslims, no Arabs. It was the Romans. General Titus came, and with three Roman legions that had, subjugated the entire world at the time, they came and they destroyed Jerusalem. So what does this tell me? This verse tells me the Antichrist is going to come out of what was the Roman Empire. And some people conjecture, and I agree with this too, that what did we come out of the Roman Empire? In a way, the Western world came out of the Roman Empire. We adopted the Roman way. We came out of Rome. We took the democracy kind of mindset into the rest of the world, the Western world, when we left Europe. And so, and actually, it was 500 years. I mean, when Daniel is prophesying, it's 1,100 years. But from the time that the temple was destroyed until Muhammad is, 400 or 500 years. So there was no Islam at the time that the temple was being destroyed. Now, I haven't seen the exact words of it, but I've heard it from people that Joel, I haven't read Joel's stuff on this, so I'm trying to be careful and not make any misstatements about what he thinks. But he might be saying, well, the Romans conquered a bunch of areas, and so the people that actually the Romans used under Titus were from that part of the world, the Muslim Arab world. And I wasn't there. I don't know who Titus had for all of his armies. I know that it's all that recorded, but obviously Rome ruled the world. Europe ruled the world. The idea that Daniel the prophet would be giving us, because he wants us to understand, is that this came from Europe, that the Antichrist is going to come out of the European Union. And the end of it shall be with a flood. there will be a dispersion and a destruction of Jerusalem. Until the end of the war, desolations are determined. Until this all comes down, there's going to be desolations determined upon Jerusalem, the Jewish people, which is being fulfilled to this day. Then who's he? Well, he is, from verse 26, the prince who is to come. So then he, the Antichrist, shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week, the last 7 years before Jesus comes back. But in the middle of the week, and how do we know it's years? See, if we tie this prophecy in these verses of Daniel with Revelation that says how many days. One time it says how many days, another time it says how many months. And we know from all the prophets that have told us all the ways to figure out Daniel's weeks is it means weeks of years. So in the middle of the last week of years, 7 years, which means 3.5 years into the last 7 years before Jesus comes back, he is going to bring an end to sacrifice and offering. So that means, and turn to Daniel chapter 7, verse 23, as I then summarize. So that means the Antichrist stops the Jews from reinstituted temple worship and sacrifice. Which, again, you can't stop something that's not going. And the Jews aren't going to get sacrifices going without a temple. The Jews in Jesus' day rejected Jesus because they felt like he was not fulfilling exactly what needed to happen for him to fulfill all the prophecies, which are dozens and dozens of prophecies about the Jewish Messiah. That's why they rejected him. Now, fast forward 2,000 years later, the Orthodox Jews are reading the same Bible. They have the same hopes of a Jewish Messiah that the people 2,000 years ago did. They've cast off Jesus. You didn't get rid of all the enemies of Israel. You didn't let us live in peace. You didn't let us live without Herod telling us what we could do and having his troops slaughter us during Passover and all this stuff. Jesus, instead of getting rid of him, you turned over the tables of the money changers. You're going to die. So I'm telling you, the Jews today are the same way. I've met with them. I've talked with them. I've talked personally face-to-face twice with a guy at Gershon Solomon, who is the head of the Temple Mount Land of Israel faithful. He's told us what he's expecting for the Jewish temple to be rebuilt and for the nation to be restored. He said that the one who we asked him, who will your Messiah be? He will be the one who lets us build our temple. We believe that that will be the anti-Messiah. And he said, no, it cannot be the anti-Messiah. I have this on video. If you're interested, I'll get it for you. He cannot be the anti-Messiah. No, temple will be the most holy thing, and no anti-Messiah would allow us to build a temple. This was in February before Y2K. It was 1999. That was a long time ago. Nothing's changed. They are fully anticipating. Rabbis over in Israel today saying the stage is set. The Messiah of Israel must come because they know otherwise they're going to be destroyed. So they're thinking they're going to be destroyed by Islam. They're not thinking Islamic Caliph is going to be the one to let him build the temple. So the AC stops, the Antichrist stops the Jews from worshiping in the temple, and what Muslim's going to let him build, and what Jew's going to follow a Muslim. And so, next thing I want to say is the Bible tells us that the kingdom of the Antichrist is global. You know, so, the Antichrist comes out of Europe. The kingdom of the Antichrist, unlike the other three global attempts at global government that Daniel talked about, was the Babylonians, the Medo-Persians, and the Greeks. The final world empire is going to be global. And that's what it says in Daniel 7:23, where it says, thus he said, the fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. And again, this is a vision where Daniel is shown the four kingdoms of the world that are going to rule. And the last kingdom, this kingdom, gets destroyed by the Messiah, for us, the return of Jesus. And So the emphasis is, shall devour the whole earth. Therefore, the kingdom of the Antichrist is going to have to subjugate the entire world. Now, you know, ISIS, yeah, we get a lot of news meet out ISIS. How many tanks and planes and fighter jets and stuff does ISIS have? Zero. I mean, well, they get some tanks that they capture from people. How many banks does the Islamic world control? You know, the main central banks of the world that are controlling the buying and selling of everybody on the face of the earth, how many of those do they control? How much of the mass media do they control? How much of the educational system and the entire Western world that is preaching this, you know, live locally, think globally, how much of that do they control? Nothing. They can't make a world government. The people that do own all that, that do control all that, they've had a plan going for world government for over a couple hundred years. And they're making it happen. Well then, Kevin, why are they allowing the Muslims to go into Europe? And why are they, you know, and all this stuff? This is my take. This is my guess. I can't back it up biblically. I think the true elites, the true power brokers of the world, they look at them as useful idiots. The Muslims are useful idiots. You know why? Because they've got a book that says, kill the infidel wherever you find him. And we can radicalize them, we can use them, and we can point them at people, go get them, go get them, go get them, and create chaos and disaster in the world. And then pretty soon we'll use it to the point where they kill enough thousands of people, we confiscate all the guns, we get rid of the constitutions and the freedom of speech and the freedom of religion and all this other stuff, and we take power and we get rid of them useless idiots. Joel's book is looking, you know, it's like he gets a little speck in his eye. You know, Islam, oh, this little speck, and forgets to realize the hammer's coming. Global government of the Antichrist is coming. And it is using them, the church, in the apostate church, they're using apostate pastors as useful idiots, too, to get us away from the gospel of Jesus Christ, which you have to do to control the world. You can't have people that are sitting there saying, no, Jesus is the only way, the truth, the life, and unless you believe in him, you will die and spend eternity in hell. That's not good for global government unity. So the apostasy's in the church, and they're programming it. You know, Rick Warren, who made it happen, member of Council of Foreign Relations, you know, meets with the global leaders, marketed all of his wares, his books have been marketed by Rupert Murdoch, a major globalist billionaire, to get it into the church and to get us all deluded away from the gospel of Jesus Christ. The kingdom of the Antichrist is being built, but not by Muslim caliphs. They are going to go down. Then 10 horns. The 10 horns are 10 kings. There's going to be a 10-nation global empire who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall arise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. And what the Joel people are talking, including Joel, oh, this is what's happening with ISIS right now, is ISIS takes down this country and this country. We don't know which ones, but someday we're going to see which one of these Muslim Shia Sunni fights is going to be the one guy comes and takes down 2 and 3 and he becomes the actual caliph. And actually, I think that Joel, I haven't seen the reading on this, but I've watched some of his stuff on Turkey, and he put out a big thing with Turkey's turning radical Muslim because of the failed coup attempt. And this is it, because he really thinks Turkey, he has said, he did teach, I watched this on a video, that Turkey is Gog, of the Gog-Magog War, which don't confuse it with our Gog-Magog War. Our Gog-Magog War happens 7 years before Jesus, at least 7 years before Jesus comes back. His Gog-Magog War happens when? When Jesus comes back. So to Joel, you know, Erdogan might be the Antichrist of the Gog-Magog invasion that is, you know, the kingdom of the Antichrist that's rising in the Battle of Armageddon, which is, Armageddon is Ezekiel 38:39, is Psalm 83 and Isaiah 17. And so he's put out a warning, watch out what's happening in Turkey. Yeah, I mean, we can watch Turkey. Jesus come back, he's going to deal with it. Turkey is going to be, if we're right, Turkey's going to be dealt with by God himself when they come to finish off Israel after Psalm 83, Isaiah 17, and it's going to usher in the kingdom of the Antichrist. And it's going to be before Jesus returns. He, the Antichrist, shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given to his hand for a time, times, and half a time. Now, what does the Bible say right there? The Antichrist is going to be allowed to what? Kill the saints. Once again, right here, Daniel makes it very clear. There's nobody to rapture at the end of the tribulation. Handful. There are some people that fear God that are alive at the end because God gathers them in Matthew 25. But the court shall be seated, and they shall take away his dominion. The court in heaven is going to be seated. They're going to take away the kingdom of the Antichrist to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. You know, he was troubled by it. And we got more to do next week. How come I always do this? One part series turns into two or three. But where we're going to go from here is John. And I just want to, we'll cover it next week. But I just want you to know, Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name. This is such a key verse to this discussion. In fact, it's the one verse that, if you wanted to give one verse, this is it. Jesus said, I have come in my Father's name, and me you have rejected. Another will come in his own name, and him you will accept. So, but again, who are the Jews going to accept? They're not going to accept a Muslim fundamentalist, crazy, throat-slitting, head-chopping guy. And nor is Islam going to allow the Jews to build. Today, what the Israeli defense forces and governments worry about every single time there's a Jewish feast that comes up in Israel is they worry about the crazies like Gershon Solomon, who is the land of Israel, Temple Mount Faithful. We're going to build a temple here because the scriptures demand it to happen. They're worried that they're going to sneakily bring a cornerstone of the temple again, because it happened and dozens of people died, to bring a cornerstone of the third temple, which they have ready to go on a cart, and lay it and say, this is the cornerstone of the start of the temple, and they think that it will start World War III as far as they're concerned. In other words, the Muslims aren't going to wake up one day and say, let's decide, shouldn't we like the Jews? Because what's behind, who's the God of Islam? Satan. Does Satan like the Jews? Satan's spent his entire history. He makes Goliath. He creates the Nephilim to keep the Jews out of the promised land that God had promised to give them. Satan is behind Islam. Satan isn't going to start loving the Jews. He's not going to start loving the Jews and letting them build their temple. It's going to be an act of God. It's going to be the destruction of the satanic religion of Islam. And yet there's a satanic New World Order kingdom coming that's going to deceive them, as Jesus said, deceive them into embracing a man because they want just a man. They don't want a God, man, Jesus. They want just a man that gives them a manly, you know, earthly temple. And that's why they're deceived. But they're going to wake up at the end of the tribulation when they see Jesus coming in power and great glory. So we're going to cover some more, and we'll put the two together on an audio file. But we're out of time. So any questions real quick before we go? I'm excited about Jesus coming back. And we're going to cover the fact that he doesn't believe in the rapture either, and we'll cover that next week and two. But I, yeah, no, Noah? Yeah. And my final encouragement, look for the uptaker. Someday we're going to hear a trumpet blast. And the dead in Christ are going to rise first. And then those who are alive will go up to meet him in the air. And they will forever be with him in the air. Now see, the saints down here, they're all getting slaughtered. And what Thessalonians says is, I go meet him in the air. But Joel thinks we meet him when he comes down here. We're going to see the verse that he talks about this, Matthew. He says, well, he comes down here and we meet him. But Thessalonians says, I meet him in the air. So there's two more comings. There's a coming where he goes with a trumpet. And we go to be with him. We go to be with him in the air. He deals with the 70th week of Daniel, the last 7 years, with his people and his city, Jerusalem, which is what Daniel starts out with. 77 is determined upon thy people and thy holy city, Jerusalem. We're gone, because he's going to start working with the Jews again, and he's going to start protecting them and using them and ultimately allowing their eyes to be open. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray that in these days of confusion, you'll help us to not become fretful, Lord, because there's a lot to be fretful about. But we know whom we have believed and are persuaded that you are able to keep that which we've committed until that day, unto that day, Lord. And we just pray you'd help us to be witnessing the biblical gospel to those that are lost until you come. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand and worship God in this closing song.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. So fill me and heal me, and bring me back to you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might be renewed. So fill me and heal me and bring me back to you. Create in me a clean heart, O God, that I might serve you, that I might serve you.
Amen. He declared our heart clean the day we bowed the knee, but then he says, I've declared it clean, but now I'm going to make it clean. And he's been doing that ever since. And may we let him do so until he comes. God bless. Keep you in his care this week until we can fellowship again.